Good morning. Welcome to the Refuge. I see I have a timer here, so I'll stick to the time. One of the announcements that Stephen had made was that we're looking to have people sign up. What happened was my computer, I had to completely wipe it out and start new. And I had the email list where I would keep you up to date and everything, but it's gone. So I'm asking that you go back to the information table if you'd like to receive updates and email form or texts. Please put down your cell number, and I'll just send you little reminders of what's going on via text, via email. I'll give you just an update on what's going on for maybe the week or the month, and also prayer requests. Again, you know, as I stated a long time ago, and this is just a reminder, we come together in prayer, and so when there's a prayer need, I like to put it out to the church, and not just for a select few, but put it out to the church if it's appropriate, and we all gather together in prayer. So hopefully everyone goes out there and fills out that sheet. But this morning, it was pretty amazing. Now, as I was sitting there and looking at the words of the songs and singing and worshiping the Lord, how it really just falls right in line with what the Lord has for us this morning in the message. And the title of this morning's message is Looking Beyond Today. As Christians, by the way, we're strangers in a foreign land as long as that we're living here on earth. It's not our homeland. And yet we're known by God as His children and have a secure place in heaven. As Christians, although we belong to God, Here's the thing, as we live life in this strange land, is that God's power does not keep us from experiencing trials. But trials serve a divine purpose to test and show us whether our faith is authentic or not. And we'll look at the fact, we'll be looking at the fact that those trials also serve other purposes, to refine, to reveal, and to strengthen us. As Christians, we know Jesus, unlike the prophets of the Old Testament, knew Jesus. And we are privileged in knowing He's walked this earth, went to the cross, and was resurrected in the fulfillment of prophecy. For us, we look back. In our future, we are no longer looking for a coming Messiah. But for the Old Testament prophets, they did. They knew that what they wrote was for our benefit. And even angels longed to experience that indescribable, that inexpressible joy that we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. The first chapter here in Peter is a word of encouragement to specific churches in an Asian Minor, it sounds like a music kind of a thing, right? Minor, yeah. But he was speaking, not like I'm speaking, but he was speaking to a bunch of churches in this area of Asia Minor. We got that right. And we'll take a look at that. But it was an encouragement. This letter was there to encourage those specific churches. And I pray this morning that you are encouraged, that whatever is heavy on your heart today, that you learn how to look beyond today to a day in which we will be in God's presence forever, the day of our Lord. You see, as Christians, our salvation is secured. In our faith in Jesus Christ, our hope is placed on the day in which Jesus Christ is revealed to us. And our trials are seen for what they are, truly momentary in light of eternity. And we'll see here also how it is that what should be produced out of that faith, which should result is joy, praise, obedience, the maintenance of a clear mind, the pursuit of holiness, and a sincere love for the brethren. That's a sincere love for each other. Now, many of you have heard of the man earlier this week that shot 8 people in Seal Beach, right? That was a tragic incident that took place. So the people who were sitting there having, getting haircuts and different things done, you know, in that salon, they were going about their day, not ever expecting anything to happen like that, you know, especially in Seal Beach. But this man came in. Not only did he shoot his ex-wife, but he shot 7 others, including a man that was simply parked next to the car of the shooter out in the parking lot. He was shot and killed as well. And I know there's many things that we could take from that and say, okay, well, you know, we could think of those lives that were lost and they didn't know that tomorrow wasn't promised to them. But what about that man? He had no hope. He had no joy. He was despondent. And he came to a place to where he felt he could do what he did. There are times there are people around us who are getting to that point. And I've told you many times, and I'll keep telling you, you got to tell them about Jesus Christ. Because many times it's only that hope, that joy, that will keep someone from doing something that they will regret for the rest of their lives and will be judged for. You understand what I'm saying? It's looking beyond today. Looking beyond today and sharing that love with someone else. Now those families, the families of those who are deceased, they are grieved beyond words. How different it would have been had this man had Jesus Christ truly in his heart and he lived beyond the troubles of today. Again, some of you are living in troubles and not through troubles. What I want to tell you with that is that what happens is you focus in on the issue and not necessarily beyond today to what the solution is. As Christians, Peter reminded the Christians in a specific area, but today he reminds all churches throughout the world that today's trials are but momentary afflictions, and our hope should be focused like a laser on the day which is filled with glory. A day in which we'll experience Jesus Christ for eternity. Personally. So, do you understand what I'm saying when it comes to that man? I'm sure story after story, we can look at the news and we can see people who have reached the end of their rope. They have no answer. They have no hope. And they do things like this. This isn't the first, and unfortunately, it will not be the last. But for us, we have the answer. We have the hope. We can experience joy. And we can praise the Lord for that hope. And so this morning, I pray that the Word of God just ministers to you wherever you are. Let's start out by reading the first 12 verses of the first chapter here in 1 Peter. Just to get an idea of what we're looking at here in our text. So starting in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. And it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. It's encouraging. I mean, when I sat there and read this, I thought, oh, God, you are so good. Reminded me of that the Old Testament prophets, they wrote these things for us, and it was revealed to them that it was for our benefit. Angels long to look into this inexpressible joy that we get to experience in Jesus Christ. This should cause us to set our hope on nothing and anyone else but Jesus Christ, and let him be the reason for living and your strength for getting through days and circumstances and situations and your answer when life is difficult and it offers absolutely no answers whatsoever. Jesus Christ. So here, let's start off at the top. The first two verses here. Here's Peter's greeting to these churches. He identifies himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ, which is an office, by the way, not just a work of a herald or a communicator of the word of God. He is actually holding an office of the apostle along with several others, right? He's addressing the churches in the regions mentioned here in Asia Minor. And it's interesting because they're listed in order, and it's kind of like this circular, kind of like a mailman is delivering the letters to the various churches in the region. If you look on a map, you'll go from the top and you'll go in kind of a circular manner and then get back to your starting point. And so that's what we see there, just to help you draw a picture of the area. Peter mentions the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. So he mentions the Trinity in his greeting. He addresses the elect exiles. This is indicating again that we're not in our homeland. We're sojourners. We're strangers in this foreign land. And that's actually encouraging. As you get older, that's actually encouraging, you know, because you go through various trials. You know, you understand at some point that you're not invincible. Young men, right now, you think you're invincible, right? Go forever. I can do anything. But as you grow, this, you understand, all right, I'm looking forward to my glorified body. and that'll be awesome. I wonder how, you know, you can't, don't you ever wonder, what's my glorified body going to be like? You know, what am I going to look like? I know it could be really interesting if you sat and talked about that, right? Greg Laurie seems to think he's going to have hair. And yeah. All right. So back to the word. Heaven awaits us in the hope of abiding in God's glory for eternity. What's awesome here also is that the final portion of his greeting, it says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Here's just something that you may have heard before. This is just a reminder if you're hearing it for, you know, the umpteenth time. But listen, you cannot have peace without grace. In the Bible, grace seems to always come before peace, right? So grace and peace be multiplied to you. The world cannot truly experience peace without the love of God in Jesus Christ. You can't. It may be momentary, but not truly for any length of time. So grace and peace, looking beyond today, and focus, we need to focus our lives on Jesus Christ. So hope, verses 3-5 talks about hope, which we already read. Our hope is secured and kept by God for the day in which our salvation will be complete in his presence. Now it's kept by God by his power. And who is more powerful than God? No one. And who doesn't need hope? We all need hope, right? I know I do. So the first thing is salvation is God's work in Christ. He caused us, as it says here in verse 3, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so salvation is God's work in Jesus Christ, his Son. God was merciful to us and he sent his Son to pay the debt of sin that we couldn't pay. He was our atonement. He paid for our sins. The perfect sacrifice and our hope is alive in the resurrected Christ. Romans 6:8-11 says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Good news. Good news. So salvation is God's work in Christ. Secondly, our salvation, well, it's our inheritance in Christ, again, kept by God. Like I said earlier, kept by God's power. No one can snatch us out of his hands. No one. Jesus said in John 10:28-30, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And Peter tells us here that our salvation is one that will never perish. It will never be defiled and it will never fade. Because God's promise is good. He is trustworthy. You know, as those words are given to us, it's like an illustration, perish and defiled and fade. You know, anything that's on the earth today will perish, will fade, will be defiled from its original content. It'll be changed. It may take years for plastic to break down, but it will. Everything is breaking down. But God says, as far as our salvation is concerned, it is secured. It will never change its form. And it's held and kept by God's power in his hands. No one, nothing can ever snatch that from his hands. What's awesome is this salvation, it's going to be completed. It will be revealed when the Lord is revealed to you. The moment you take your last breath here on earth and you take your first breath in his presence, oh, my salvation is complete. Have you ever doubted your salvation? Have you ever felt like you have let God down and you're not sure if you're going to heaven? You've asked for forgiveness. You've seemed to think that you've turned from your sinful practices, and yet you still struggle to live victoriously as a Christian according to God's word. Probably many, if not all of you, have had those thoughts cross your mind. Yesterday, I was talking to some brothers, and we were talking about it. It doesn't matter how many times you stumble or you fall. What matters is how many times you get up. Are you a resilient Christian, or are you one that will sit down and give up? And I encourage you, get up. Your salvation is secure. Keep going. You fight on from victory. Listen, as long as we're in this flesh, the flesh wars against the spirit. That's what the Bible tells us. There's just going to be this battle. Just deal with it, right? And just understand, just keep getting up, guys. Keep going. Have hope in this, that our hope is secure in Christ, for the day will come, as sure as the sun sets and the sun rises, that you will one day be with God forever. Have hope in this. Joy. Next is joy. Verses 6 through 9, we see joy in that. We already read that. Where there is hope, there can be joy. Even though we experience troubles in life, in Christ, these trials serve a purpose. They reveal, they refine, and they cause us to rejoice in our faith because the outcome, again, is completed in Jesus Christ, salvation. So trials serve to reveal, the first one, the genuineness of our faith. Trials, you know that trials serve as a test for you? It is a test of how faithful you are to the one you profess to trust. It can reveal to you so many things. My life verses seem to be James 1, 2 through 4, because in life we'll always experience troubles, but the Bible tells us not to lose heart, to persevere, to continue going, for in due time we will what? Receive a reward. It's like amazing, receive a reward. Well, our reward is Jesus Christ. He's everything. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We need to be reminded of that. Apparently, I need to be reminded of that often, because that's what's kind of like at the top of all the scripture that's been given to me. Trials are good, and they'll show your faith, if it's genuine, how you're responding to those trials. It's an opportunity to grow in your faith in trusting God at His Word. Earlier this week, I was talking to someone that was telling me about how they were experiencing some difficulties in their life. It was just a season that they were going through, but it caused them to pray without ceasing. This person turns to God when things aren't going so good and puts their trust completely in Him. And that is an expression of genuine faith. One that doesn't turn to anything or anyone else. It's just, hey, my first inclination is to go bend my knees and come before God and just, Lord, help me. Help me through this. Give me wisdom. Give me strength. Give me whatever's necessary to glorify you through this situation. And so trials are good in that it reveals to us whether we have authentic faith or not. And remember that our faith is more precious than gold. It has more worth than silver, even platinum or diamonds or whatever. Our faith is more important and more precious, worth more. Trials serve to refine the Christian. Like we said earlier, everything else will fade, perish. Everything else will be defiled. In fact, through testing, I'm reminded of a time when I learned about burst tests. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about already, but burst tests with hoses that are pressurized. Guys, you're in tune with me. Ladies, just listen a little bit. There's these hoses in diving. You know, you have hoses. Your life depends on them, and so they need to be tested well, right? But every hose has a rating, a work rating, okay? But there's a certain pressure it comes up to. You're learning something right now too, right? Certain pressure that it's built up to where it bursts. And if it does it consistently, then that's the pressure at which it bursts. But we're going to set the working pressure at this pressure. What I'm saying with that is whether it's that, whether it's a stress test to see at what point a line or a rope will break, everything has a breaking point. Everything does. But what's awesome is that God will not allow us to get to a breaking or bursting point, but he will refine us as our faith is tested. We will not be defiled or perish, just as gold can be, but we will be refined by our Lord. He's perfect. The refiner sits by that gold and he sees it as it's being refined. It's not 1 degree hotter or 1 degree cooler than it needs to be. And as the story goes, as the refiner looks at this pot of gold, the moment he sees the reflection of himself in that gold, then he knows the process is complete. He won't take us beyond, is what I'm telling you. Whatever you're going through, he'll take you through it. We just need to set our sights on the author and finisher of our faith. So trials serve to reveal, refine, as well as cause you to rejoice because your faith is genuine. So Christians, rejoice with joy. What happens when you're threatened with the prospect of bad news about maybe health or your work or your wages? Well, it doesn't feel so good, right? But what happens if you're expecting something bad to be communicated to you, but you receive good news? Don't you rejoice with joy? You're thinking, oh my gosh, this is not looking good. And then someone comes back and says, oh, by the way, you're not only not going to lose your job, but you're getting a raise and you're getting promoted. What would that cause you to do? Rejoice, right? What if the doctor told you that you may be going through difficulties with your health, but in the end you'll live, and in fact, you won't even be able to get sick anymore? Well, the tests have come in. You've been found to be genuine in your faith, and you will live forever in inexpressible joy and filled with glory. Rejoice, Christian. Rejoice, Christian. Your hope is found in the secure inheritance of salvation in Jesus Christ. Remember, these problems, these issues are momentary afflictions. So the Bible describes them, momentary afflictions. Verses 10 through 12 talks about praise. Where there is hope and joy, there can be praise. Salvation in Jesus Christ was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets, but they were for our benefit. We talked about that. We live in the days in which they foretold by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They were made aware that the day of Jesus is for the benefit of future generations. It says in verse 7, a genuine faith will reap hope and joy that will express itself in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So let's praise God today while it's still called today. Because our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. We have hope and joy. And we will praise God with our lips and lives even when we experience troubled times. Listen, by the way, God didn't say this too shall pass. Did you know that wasn't scripture? How many of you have been caught, now be truthful, have been caught saying, this too shall pass? That's what the Bible says, this too shall pass. It's like, it doesn't? I Googled it and everything. Where is it? It's not. So now you know, this too shall pass. It's not in the Bible, but it does say that our lives are like a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. James 4:14. I can have scripture reference for that. Scripture also encourages us through trials with this. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, temporary, right? But the things that are unseen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. So listen, if our lives are like a mist, right? If I had a water bottle up here, then I would, yeah, I won't deal with that. But if I had a water bottle, I would just spray. You've seen a mist, right? Just one spray will produce this mist. Just picture this, okay? So that's what our lives are likened to. Our lives are but a vapor. It's a mist. Just there one moment and gone the next. Okay, so let's put this in perspective. If our lives are that mist, what's a problem? A trial, a season in life? How big is it in light of the mist, which is our whole life? A drop of water? Maybe two? Right? Think about it. I'm not saying it's scripture, but this too shall pass. Right? So as Christians, we have hope in Christ, are filled with joy even through difficult times, and praise our Lord because our salvation, again, is kept by God and it is secure. So Peter says, this is what hope, joy, and praise should look like in the believer. Verses 13 through 22. Let's read those verses and then we'll continue. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Christ, of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. Verse 21, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And verse 22 says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. When a hero saves someone from death in a movie, from dying, the person usually turns around and says to the other, I owe you my life. Whatever you want me to do, I'm here for you, right? That's what we hear all the time. That's how Christians should live their lives after they're saved by Jesus Christ. Instead, we live as if our Savior is a nuisance, or his word tells us how he commands us to live is only a set of suggestions, and we don't owe him anything. In fact, if I had like a roll of things of requests from him, I would bring it out and it would just roll and roll and roll, right? Those are the things that we expect from you, Lord. Just please give them to us. Listen, he saved us. And they're not suggestions, they're commandments. And we should live our lives just passionately for Jesus Christ. Why? Because he saved us from eternal separation from him through his son, Jesus Christ. The subsequent result that therefore in our salvation should look something like this. Right there. 13 through 22. And Peter says to prepare our minds for action. Our lives are not static. They're dynamic in Jesus Christ. So you say you don't know how to act. I don't know how to act. How do I act as a Christian? Well, first of all, listen. Read the Word of God. It'll be revealed to you how you are to act. But let's see what Peter says here. Verse 13 says to live soberly. Not sedated with anything. Sometimes we quickly go to alcohol, drugs, or anything else, porn. But it's anything that would cloud your mind. It could be something that you idolize, that you put up on a pedestal, cloud your mind. It could be TV. It could be the internet. You know, you're on Facebook 24/7. It could cloud your mind, right? Listen. We were talking about computers yesterday with a friend of mine. And he was saying, you know, and I agree, that the computer can be just this thing that saps the life out of you, right? Amen? Amen. All right. But I was thinking, man, if used properly, that's an awesome tool. I mean, seriously, when I'm studying and I'm going through Scripture and you can find out some pretty cool stuff on the internet. So we need to use it as a tool, not allow it to cloud our minds. You know, you understand what I'm saying? It could be anything, really. It could be the newspaper. You know, in prehistoric times, we used to read newspapers. Did you know that? You understand what I'm saying, though. As far as your mind can be clouded with just about anything. Be attentive. Be discerning. Peter warns us to not distract our minds, but rather set them on when we will see Jesus Christ face to face. Sharpshooter sets his sights, cleans his lenses. Doesn't allow anything to come between him and his intended target, right? Nothing at all, nothing. They don't move. They learn how to breathe right in order for their shot to come off correctly. Have you ever seen a trained police dog? They're amazing. When they're sitting there right in front of their master, right? They're looking at him. And you could tell him whatever you want, yell at him from the side, shoot a gun up in the air. His eyes will be like a laser on his master's, waiting for the next command to come. It's beautiful. It's a picture of what the Christian and the master, the father, should look like. Nothing should distract us. We should be with laser focus on him, waiting for his next command. That's how we should be as Christians. Next, don't live in the past. You can't claim ignorance if you know the truth. You can't. Peter tells us here not to live pursuing what we used to lust for and pursue in our ignorance. Once the truth is very simple, once the truth is revealed to us, we cannot claim ignorance. It's too late. Sorry. It's been revealed to you. What happens is you end up living miserable. Miserably as a Christian that knows the truth, and then you directly oppose it. It's like this miserable life because you'll be convicted. As a child, I was taught to be respectful of people, reach out and shake hands. I was to say my full name. I don't know about this full name thing, you know, because for me, my parents, by the way, my parents, they were born in Mexico. They came to the United States. I was the first child, and so my name is just a full-on Mexican name, right? My sister, Carla Grisel Montano. And I don't know what happened with my brother. It was just Eric Bryan Montano. So it was just like totally Americanized, right? So for me, I when I introduce myself, this is how I introduce. My name is Raul Villarreal Montaño. Mucho gusto, right? That's what I was taught to do. Now you know how to say it in Spanish, right? But listen, after being taught how to be respectful, not to walk in between people when they're talking, to say, excuse me, things like that. When I did it, like after that, well, if my dad was around, it'd be a different story. But for me personally, as I grew up, you know, because he would apply the rod, he did not spare the rod, which is a good thing. Yeah. Okay, get back to it. But when I grew up, what happened was when I would walk in between, I was like, oh, that didn't feel good. You know, I already knew what good manners were. And so when I went against it, I already knew it. I'm sorry, you know. I'm sorry, let me introduce myself. I'd say Raul V. Montano, because now I'm in California, right? But it just, you know the truth, and it just convicts you, right? Just convicts you. We're no longer ignorant. We just get embarrassed if we go against what we know. Be holy, verse 16. Will we ever be perfect? No. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. I think we expect ourselves to be perfect and think that that's what God says, you know. You know what? If you're not perfect, then you're going to be in trouble, right? No, he says, you know what? Son, be holy, for I am holy. You are to pursue righteousness. Don't give up on it. Just because it's like, man, I keep failing. No. But you aren't where you used to be. You're not where you should be, but you're not where you used to be. Keep growing. There's a process. It's called sanctification. It's a process that God is doing in you. Don't give up. Pursue holiness. And as you do that, you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Son, Jesus Christ. And he is transforming your life. But he says, be holy, for I am holy. It involves humility. I'm going to go on to the next point. And that is love one another. Just a little reminder here. What I'm teaching you this morning is only a portion. You know, like I was talking to Chuck in the preparation of this message. I mean, it's a good amount of study time that I put into it, but I can only give you a portion of it. What I encourage you to do is go back into the chapter, look through it, and then study the word yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15. Jot that down and then look it up, 2 Timothy 2:15, and do that. Okay? Love one another. Jesus said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. John 13:35. God commands us to love each other and to demonstrate it from a pure heart. That means pure motives that are selfless and they're giving and they're sacrificial, unrestrained. In fact, they're supposed to be done intensely. That's what earnestly means, you know, intensely. How? Cain and Abel had a little issue. That was the first murder. And Cain, in his response to God, said, who am I? Am I my brother's keeper? As God asked, where's Abel? Well, listen, we are our brother's keeper. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, if you have no interest in your brother or sister, then confess that to the Lord. Ask him to give you a love for each other, because that's what we are commanded to do from a pure heart. We are to be our brother's keeper. We are to bear each other's burdens. We are to sacrifice our lives for each other out of love. And this should be the result of hope, joy, praise to the Savior. That's what should result in that we all come together collectively as one body, one family, and we do this. We love on each other, and we bear one another's burdens. Lastly, the word remains forever. Verse 23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. It's the good news that was preached to you this morning, looking beyond today. I pray that you learn a little bit more about how to do that to God's glory. How it is that you can have hope, joy, and praise in the midst of trials. Looking to that one day that the prophet spoke about. That's in Scripture, in which we will be forever joined with our Lord. It'll be the completion of our faith. This good news is preached to you this morning. Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. And Jesus said also in John 15:7-11, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Those are the words from our Lord. I'd like to ask the worship team to go ahead and come back up. Again, I'm going to bring you to the beginning. That as Christians, we're not exempt through going through trials. We're not exempt at all. We just go through various issues. But we belong to someone who strengthens us. We belong to someone, our salvation belongs to someone from whom it can't be removed, or we can't be snatched out of his hands. We belong to him. He helps us get through tough times with joy because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And this morning, I pray that each and every person here has that hope, that you can express that inexpressible joy and rejoice. So I pray that the word of God ministered to you this morning, that the Holy Spirit gave you understanding and was nudging you when you had to be nudged. And right now, if the Holy Spirit is reminding you or telling you once more, because by the way, God draws you unto himself. And if right now is the day of salvation for you, then I pray that you confess your sins, knowing that that's what separates you from God. Your sins do. That's what the Bible says. But the good news is that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for our sins. That was the payment for those sins. We couldn't pay for them, but Jesus Christ did. And that if we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. I know you hear this week in and week out. But there may be someone here that has not reached that point to where they've surrendered their lives to God, and there's no hope. So I want to be certain that each person has truly surrendered their lives to Christ, and you have that hope. That man in Seal Beach had no hope. Do you have hope? I pray you do. We'll start out with just again with a moment of silence. And if it's you, if it's the Lord's tugging on your heart and drawing you unto Himself, and then just say, Lord, I'm sorry, please.